Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda So today we're going to be beginning with the reading of the Beda Kirtan Pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 11, Madhyalila. And this particular chapter is very significant. Srila Prabhupada makes that point later on, where he points out that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited the Sankirtan movement as it had never been seen before, not even in Navadvip. We're going to hear how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, along with his associates, performed such a beautiful and attractive Sankirtan that all the residents, the citizens of Jagannath Puri, were just awestruck. But I wanted to also make a point that this was initially manifested, this ecstatic symptoms that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited and his ecstatic outreach was originally exhibited, and we should make note of it, earlier. It actually began after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had accepted sannyas. After accepting sannyas, he stayed in Jagannath Puri for just a couple months. He liberated Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, because Sarvabhauma had been under this impersonalistic notion. So there's a very nice ecstatic conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sarvabhauma. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided that he wanted to go traveling. He wanted to go to South India. And Srila Prabhupada points out that this is when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fully manifested his potencies and began to convert thousands upon thousands of people, but also some very interesting groups. Certainly in Navadvip at the time, there were so many scholarly people. Navadvip was accepted as the one of the most important places for the execution of an understanding of Vaishnava culture. And scholars would always come, certainly. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't really manifest in such a broad way until he left and went to South India. So in previous chapters, it's described how first Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Kumarakshetra, and This place is very renowned, considered a very sacred place. It has a very beautiful Kurma deity there. It's also the place where Jagannath Swami himself threw Ramanujacharya, right? He threw him from Jagannath Puri to Kurukshetra, some 300 miles in the middle of the night. Ramanuja went to bed, and there was to be a debate, right? He was going to have a debate with the pujaris of Jagannath, and he was encouraging them to adopt the Narada Pancharatrika system. So the priests, Jagannath's servants, were so distraught that surely if we have to discuss with Ramanuja, we'll be defeated. But they wanted to keep the same rasa, the same mellow of service, going with Jagannath Swami, accepting him as Lord Sri Krishna. But we know that the Sri Vaishnavas have a different awe and reverent attitude. So, thinking like this, they prayed to Lord Jagannath that night. And when Ramanuja went to bed, he woke up and he found himself 300 miles away from where he was when he went to sleep. It's a very nice description of this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Srila Prabhupada gives. And initially, Ramanuja thought that this is a deity of Lord Shiva. Right? He thought it was Lord Shiva, so he didn't know how to this deity of Kurma. But after it was explained to him that no, this is actually a deity of Kurma, then he worshipped properly and then went on about his preaching activities. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went there first, and this is also where he met the Kurma Brahmana, isn't it? And stayed with the Kurma Brahmana and gave him his association, and they preached, and he preached and enlightened Kurma, the Brahmana. And so much so that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to leave, Kurma wanted to give up his family and just immediately join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then he quotes this wonderful and most renowned verse. Srila Prabhupada quotes very often. Yare deke tare kaha Krishna upadesh. Amare gai gunha tare desh. That and Prabhupada explains that this is the sublime message of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He describes this as the sublime message when he comments on this verse. That first one should take the instructions of Lord Krishna as given in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and preach it to others. And in that way, liberate them. And Srila Prabhupada described that this, again, is the sublime message of the Krishna consciousness movement. That sometimes people may think, well, I have to give up my family to join this society. Sometimes people have this misconception that coming to Krishna consciousness means that, oh, I have to give up this thing and that thing. You might have to give up your pets. That may happen. but Srila Prabhupada describes that no, one can stay in whatever position one is in, If one is in the Grihastha ashram, you stay there, you study Bhagavad Gita, you preach, you follow the principles, and chant Hare Krishna. That is the sublime message of the Krishna consciousness movement. And this same message Chaitanya Mahaprabhu shared with Kurma, the Brahmana, and he was so moved that he wanted to just give up everything and immediately go with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But no, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, this, it's not necessary. You simply stay here and execute your devotional service and preach to others, tell them about Krishna consciousness. After that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, and he met the, who was it, the leper? Vasudev. Vasudev the leper, who was such a compassionate Vaishnav. Although he was covered with all sorts of sores from his leprosy, which was full of oozing fluids and worms, when the worms would fall off, he would pick them up and put them back in their place, not wanting to inflict any suffering upon them. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, he was also very moved. And Vasudev heard the preaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when he went to go look for him, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already left. And when he found out this, he just passed out. He fell on the ground unconscious. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had heard about this or understood this. Being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he immediately returned. Immediately appeared before Vasudeva and embraced him and freed him of all his misery, liberating him. Then again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes, continues with his preaching and traveling. All the while, he's meeting so many persons along the road. He has his assistant, Krishna Das, and who later on gets into a little bit of trouble. But he goes to, where is it? He meets Ramananda Roy. Along the Godavari River, correct. And actually, he was advised by Sarvabhauma that you should go. If you go south, you should look for this Ramananda Roy. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived at the Godavari, there was Ramananda Roy. They exchanged welcomes, and they began to discuss the progression, the levels of devotional service, which is very interesting. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur comments that the five questions that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked of Ramananda Roy during that time period that they were associating are compared to five gems, five precious metals, actually. Five metals. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta comments that those five metals are the five rasas. So those five metals being what? Copper, bell, silver, gold, and touchstone. And their discussion was in a progressive way going from the rasa of neutrality to the conjugal relationship of Radharani. So this, again, this is a very wonderful section of Chaitanya Charitamrita leading up to this, because Ramananda Roy later on he meets Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returns to Puri from this trip. After their discussion, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells Ramananda, you should retire. Give up this business here and come to Jagannath Puri, which we'll hear later on he does by approaching King Pataparudra and asking him to give him permission to resign and or wanting to resign and giving permission to go and join Chaitanya. When Pataparudra heard the name Chaitanya, he said, of course, absolutely, you can leave and I'll give you full pension. Wouldn't that be incredible if someone could work and you tell your boss that I want to join the Krishna consciousness movement? Really? Well, let me give you a raise and go ahead and join the Hare Krishna movement. Wouldn't that be something? You can imagine the level of Krishna consciousness and devotion that's being exhibited here by King Pataparudra. And this is, again, going to be revealed in this particular chapter. So, after discussing with Ramananda, the Lord continued in his travels. And he goes to Sri Rangam. And spends, this is also a very significant time period. He spends the Chaturmasya period with Venkatabhatta, who was a very exalted Sri Vaishnav, and they had wonderful discussions between the worship of Lakshmi Narayan and Radha and Krishna. So after their 4 month period, can you imagine having Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in your home for 4 months? During that Chaturmasya time period, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached and converted Venkata, who we also have a connection with because his son was Gopal Bhatta, who we understand as one of the six Goswamis, who we, as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, pray for guidance and protection. So it was very, very special. You can see how this is, it's incredible how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes are so interconnected, intertwined, and they're so lovely. They're so attractive. So after he decides, after Chaturmasya, he decides that, okay, I'm leaving Venkatabhatta. He is so distraught that he pleads with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please, you stay a little bit longer. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had in his mind that he wanted to continue his travels, and he walked away. At that Venkatabhatta, he falls down unconscious. In separation. But the Lord, he's determined, he keeps on walking. It's also interesting to note that in every way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is exhibiting the perfect example that as a sannyasi he has certain responsibilities. As a grihastha, he had certain responsibilities. As a sannyasi, he also had certain responsibilities. And that was to immediately go out and start preaching. Not that we just look to find something to do. But he had it in his mind that he wanted to go and spread his Sankirtan movement. And throughout this whole trip to the south, as just before he comes back to Puri, for Raghunath or Rath Yatra festival, he manifested his potencies in so many different ways, liberating so many wonderful exalted Vaishnavas, bringing them to the understanding of the position of Radha and Krishna. After this, he meets Paramananda Puri, who we understand in Krishna Leela is Uddhava. This also is a very wonderful exchange. He meets him near Madurai. And this whole section or a certain area of of India is very beautiful and contains so many wonderful temples and like Sri Rangam, the biggest temple in all of India, that has so many walls. I think, what is it, 7 walls or 5 walls surrounding it? Such beautiful ancient histories. And when you go and see these temples and how they're worshiping the deities there in such devotional ways, it's very moving. I remember a few years ago with Sovas, he and I took a bus trip and we went to Madurai. And before you go into the temple, they have this big elephant there, right? And you go there and you give some dakshin to the elephant, and the elephant touches you on the head, offers you benediction. And then just a short walk to the side, I heard some kirtan that was going on, and I went around a corner there, and there was this young little boy. He must have been 7 years old. He was getting his Brahminical initiation. So during the Brahminical initiation, they actually brand you. Right? There's a little brand that is put on the shoulders. So this little boy, he's there crying, he's shivering, his father is there, and he's encouraging him, and the priest is there, and the priest takes this little firebrand and puts it on his shoulders, and the boy is just staunch. He's determined as ever. It's such beautiful experiences. In Srila Prabhupada comments that in the south of India, most of our acharyas come from, isn't it? Madhvacharya, Ramanuja, the Alwars, full of beautiful, beautiful culture and so attractive. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is traveling through all these areas, meeting these great souls. He travels to Rameshwaram and meets Parasuram. And there also he saves his servant, Krishnadas, who gets confused by the Bataharis, who were some nomadic tribe, and he saves him by pulling him by his hair and drags him away as he's confused by the whole experience. He became attracted to their lives, to their lifestyles. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to go there, and he spoke to the Bataharis, telling them that this is my servant. You can't do this. I'm a sannyasi. I'm traveling. I need this servant. So he grabbed him by his hair and pulled him away. There also he visits the Adi Keshava temple and finds a copy of the Brahma Samhita. And then he travels north again to Udupi and defeats the Tattvavadis. And then he goes over to Kanchi and defeats the Shaivites. He defeats the Buddhists. A wonderful, wonderful pastime that this Buddhist sect their leader wanted to discuss with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the merits of their impersonalist philosophies. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was discussing with them and ultimately defeated the leader. And they were quite morose. They were a little ashamed, embarrassed. They walked away. But then after that, they contrived some plan that what we'll do is we'll make some offering to him, but we'll offer contaminated food. Srila Prabhupada comments that it's not offered to Krishna, it's contaminated. So they offered, they came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with some plate of quote-unquote so-called prasadam. As they were offering, some bird flew out of the sky, came down from the sky, grabbed the plate, and dropped it on top of the head of the leader of the Buddhists, and he fell unconscious. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then instructs his followers, and it's an interesting pastime as well, Srila Prabhupada comments, some very wonderful purports, but he comments how the disciples of this Buddhist leader, hearing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed them that they should chant Hare Krishna. And by that instruction, hearing from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they became initiated. They became his initiates. And then he tells them to go and chant in the ear of this leader of yours, and he'll awaken. So that they did. And in reality, he became their disciple. So all of these wonderful exchanges are leading up to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming back and now manifesting in a very beautiful way this Beda Kirtan experience. So I think we still have a few more minutes. We'll at least read the introduction. It's such a beautiful summary. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur summarizes the 11th chapter in his Amrita Prabaha Bhasya. When Sarvabhauma Vachacharya tried his best to arrange a meeting between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and King Pataparudra, the Lord flatly denied his request. At this time, Sri Ramananda Rai returned from his governmental post, and he praised King Pataparudra highly in Lord Chaitanya's presence. Because of this, the Lord became a little soft. The king also made promises to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who hinted how the king might meet the Lord during Anavasara while Lord Jagannath was resting for 15 days. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being unable to see Lord Jagannath, went to Alalanath. Later, when the devotees from Bengal came to see him, he returned to Jagannath Puri. While Advaita Charja and the other devotees were coming to Jagannath Puri, Swarup Damodar and Govinda, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's two personal assistants, went to receive all the devotees with garlands. From the roof of his palace, King Pataparudra could see all the devotees arriving. Gopinatha Charja stood on the roof with the king, and following Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's instructions, identified each and every devotee. The king discussed the devotees with Gopinathacharya, and he mentioned that the devotees were accepting prasadam without observing the regulative principles governing pilgrimages. They accepted prasadam without having shaved, and they neglected to fast in a holy place. After Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had explained to the king why the devotees had apparently violated the scriptural injunctions for visiting a place of pilgrimage, the king arranged residential quarters for all the devotees and saw to their prasadam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talked very happily with Vasudev Datta and other devotees. Haridas Thakur also came, and due to his humble and submissive attitude, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him a nice solitary place near the temple. After this, the Lord began performing Sankirtan, dividing all devotees into four groups.
After Sankirtan, all the devotees left for their residential quarters. So we'll just read the translation so we can move on with this. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu merged the entire world into the ocean of ecstatic love by performing his beautiful dances within the temple of Jagannath. He danced exquisitely and jumped high. All glories to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all glories to Lord Nityananda Prabhu, all glories to Sri Advaita Prabhu, and all glories to all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The next day, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya requested Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give him permission to submit a statement without fear. The Lord gave the Bhattacharya assurance that he could speak without fear, but added that if his statement were suitable, he would accept it, and if it were not, he would reject it. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "There is a king named Prataparudra Rai. He is very anxious to meet you and he wants your permission." As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this proposal, he immediately covered his ears with his hands and said, "My dear Sarvabhauma, why are you requesting such an undesirable thing from me? Since I am in the renounced order, it is as dangerous for me to meet a king as to meet a woman. To meet either would be just like drinking poison." Greatly lamenting, the Lord then informed Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, "Alas, for a person who is seriously desiring to cross the material ocean and engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord without material motives, seeing a materialist engaged in sense gratification or seeing a woman who is similarly interested is more abominable than drinking poison willingly." Purport. This is a quotation from Sri Chaitanya Chandradaya Nataka. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enunciates the principles for a sannyasi, renouncing the material world for spiritual advancement. Spiritual advancement is not meant for magic shows and jugglery, but for crossing the material world and being transferred to the spiritual world. Param-param jigamasar means desiring to go to the other side of the material world. There is a river called Vaitarani, and on one side of this river is the material world, and on the other side is the spiritual world. Since the Vaitarani river is compared to a great ocean, it is named Bhavasagara, the ocean of repeated birth and death. Spiritual life aims at stopping this repetition of birth and death and entering into the spiritual world, where one can live eternally cognizant and blissful. Unfortunately, the general populace does not know anything about spiritual life or the spiritual world. The spiritual world is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. Parastasmatu bhavanyo vyakto vyaktat sanatana yaksa sarveshu bhuteshu nashadsu navinashyati. Yet there is another unmanifested nature, which is eternal and is transcendental to this manifested and unmanifested matter. It is supreme and is never annihilated. When all in this world is annihilated, that part remains as it is. Thus there is a spiritual nature beyond this material world, and that spiritual nature exists eternally. Spiritual advancement means stopping material activities and entering into spiritual activities. This is the process of bhakti yoga. In the material world, the via media for sense gratification is mainly a woman. One who is seriously interested in spiritual life should strictly avoid women. A sannyasi should never see a man or a woman for material benefit. In addition, talks with materialistic men and women are also dangerous, and they are compared to drinking poison. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very strict on this point. He therefore refused to see King Prataparudra, who was naturally always engaged in political and economic affairs. The Lord even refused to see the king despite the request of a personality like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was a devotee's intimate friend and devotee. Translation. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied, "My dear king, what you have said is correct. But this king is not an ordinary king. He is a great devotee and servant of Lord Jagannath. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, although it is correct that the king is a great devotee, he is still to be considered a venomous snake. Similarly, even though a woman be made of wood, one becomes agitated simply by touching her form. Purport. Sri Chanaka Pandit has stated in his moral instructions, Tyaja Durjana Sangsarjam Bhajasadu Samagamam. This means that one has to abandon the association of materialistic people and associate with spiritually advanced people. However qualified a materialist may be, he is no better than a venomous serpent. Everyone knows that a snake is dangerous and poisonous, and when its hood is decorated with jewels, it is no less poisonous or dangerous. However qualified a materialist may be, he is no better than a snake decorated with jewels. One should therefore be careful in dealing with such materialists, just as one would be careful in dealing with a bejeweled serpent. Even though a woman is made of wood or stone, she becomes attractive when decorated. One becomes sexually agitated even by touching the form. Therefore, one should not trust his mind, which is so fickle that it can give way to enemies at any moment. The mind is always accompanied by six enemies, namely kam, krodh, lobh, mada, moha, matsarya, and bhaya. That is lust, anger, intoxication, illusion, envy, and fear. Although the mind may be merged in spiritual consciousness, one should always be very careful in dealing with it, just as one is careful in dealing with a snake. One should never think that his mind is trained and that he can do whatever he likes. One interested in spiritual life should always engage his mind in the service of the Lord so that the enemies of the mind who always accompany the mind will be subdued. If the mind is not engaged in Krishna consciousness at every moment, there is a chance that it will give way to its enemies. In this way, we become victims of the mind. Chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra engages the mind at the lotus feet of Krishna constantly. Thus, the mind's enemies do not have a chance to strike. Following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's example, in these verses, we should be very careful in dealing with the mind, which should not be indulged in any circumstance. Once we indulge the mind, it can create havoc in this life, even though we may be spiritually advanced. The mind is specifically agitated through the association of materialistic men and women. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through his personal behavior, warns everyone to avoid meeting a materialistic person or a woman. Srila Prabhupada also comments further on this point that the best way to control the mind is to think of how to spread Krishna consciousness. Think of ways to spread Krishna consciousness. So, we'll end there. Are there any questions or comments? Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Jila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you.